Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
It's been more than 400 years since the first enslaved Africans arrived on the shores of Jamestown, Virginia. A new book titled 400 Souls explores the history, trials, and triumphs of their Black American descendants and highlights their continuing struggle for racial justice. The stories are told in a series of 90 essays and poems, many from different writers. Author and historian Ibram Kendi is the book's co-editor. He's also the founder of Boston University's Center for Anti-Racist Research and joined us close to the end of Black History Month to talk about the inspiration and purpose of this new collection.
We wanted this book to not only bring together a community, but literally make history, to ground history. We wanted people 100 years from now, 200 years from now, to be reflecting on, okay, this is what Black folks were thinking at the 400-year mark. We executed this way to make the history much more accessible and diverse in many ways. So instead of a single person writing the history of a community, why not bring together a community to write the history of a community? In many ways, this group sounds like a choir.
Right around the time of the American Revolution, there's the story of a woman from Western Mass known as Mumbet, later known as Elizabeth Mumbet Freeman. From the Western Mass town of Sheffield, she lived in the home of a white man who abused her, and she sued in court for her freedom. What do we know of her story?
Well, we know that that suit was absolutely critical in Massachusetts, indeed becoming one of the first states to basically end slavery. And oftentimes it's easy for people in Massachusetts to look to, you know, a white, wealthy male at the time as being the driving force of Massachusetts' sort of storied, you know, abolitionist history. But indeed, Martha Jones, who's an historian at Johns Hopkins, wanted to elevate Mumbet and her suit and the role that it played in ensuring that Massachusetts would in many ways take the lead in this anti-slavery cause.
My favorite local story in the book is more contemporary. It's about the Combahee River Collective, a Black feminist organization that worked in Boston from 1974 through 1980. There's a short passage in Barbara Smith's essay that just struck me. If you don't mind my reading it out loud, it's so powerful. Quote, "We were sick of being voiceless. We were sick of being exploited. We were sick of being told to walk 3 or 7 paces behind. We were sick of being invisible. We were sick of it all. We wanted and needed Black feminism. Since there were few indications that such existed, we decided to build it for ourselves."
Yeah, and that was certainly one of my favorite pieces. And you had this group of largely Black lesbian feminist women who were challenging the way in which homophobia operated within the Black community, the way in which racism operated within the women's community. This group, which sort of was named after the Combahee River raid that Harriet Tubman led during the Civil War, is one of the more iconic organizations in history, but they emerged out of the racism and sexism and homophobia they were facing in Boston as they saw it within the movement in general.
I'm wondering, as we get set to close Black History Month this year, after the turmoil of this past year, where do you think this continuing struggle for racial equity goes from here?
It's really going to depend on what we do. And so if we're willing to support the types of policies and policymakers that can eliminate racial injustice once and for all, then obviously we have a sense of where that's going to go. But if we're not, because we're tired or because things are too hard or things are too uncomfortable, or we think that the people are the problem as opposed to policies, you know, then we're going to continue to be having these conversations for decades.
So you make me wonder, do you think that racial equity is attainable?
Without question. I mean, you know, racial inequity is not something that is inherent to humankind. Race as a construct and racism as a construct are a relatively modern and new phenomenon within the long history of humanity. And it was literally constructed over time. And so anything that can be constructed or has been constructed can be deconstructed.
Ibram Kendi, founder of the Boston University Center for Anti-Racist Research and co-editor of the new book that you should all read if you can, titled 400 Souls. Thank you very much for speaking with us. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.